Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Thursday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. As always on Thursday, being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. Here at the Chateau. Yes, the Chateau, home at the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Better yet, go to Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Opening day of the NCAA basketball tournament. We're going to get everybody up to date on all the scores so far today up to this point. But we're also going to transition over to the NCAA Wrestling Championships, which are underway in Des Moines, Iowa. We'll be talking at the bottom of the hour with the play-by-play voice of the Nittany Lion wrestling program, Jeff Byers. All that more coming up, but first, above the noise, here is Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2004 Volvo XC40 four-door twin turbo with four-wheel drive. Lowest price promise, $9,994. A 2006 BMW X3 four-door four-wheel drive, $14,299. 2008 Ford Escape four-wheel drive V6 limited, only $15,988. 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS, just $15,943. A 2012 Hyundai Veloster three-door coupe with black interior. Call for a price, 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Reichle actually creates climate change, doesn't he, Sarah?
I'm pretty sure he is the cause.
I mean, he walks in a room, the entire climate changes. I know that. We know that from experience. Reichle's sitting there going, what?
Oh, I hope he's listening.
Meanwhile, Lawrence is sitting there going, I'm glad Steve notices.
Exactly.
Sarah Bartlett with us today. And, Sarah and I are both going to make our way down to Philadelphia.
That's true. Tomorrow.
One is a work, one working, and one is a fan. Which one's which?
Well, you're always working, so I think people know.
And then there's Kevin.
Well, yeah. Well, Kevin's at the beach.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure that he would be thrilled that we even mentioned him.
Most likely.
But that's all. it's like it's the NCAA tournament, and he, you know, you and I are the Hoops fans.
That's true. Right?
The bottom line is, we're the Hoops fans. Tough one for Bucknell today. They had a great 19-2 run, which put them in front, and then Brad Stevens called a timeout, and then Butler turned it around again. Join us from Rupp Arena, Funer.
Hey there, Bob. Steve Jones.
Bob, How are things in Lexington? That was a tough one today. That was as tough and as physical as I thought it would be, and the score was in the range I thought it would be, but I thought Bucknell would win it. When they went on the 19-2 run, I thought they had them.
Well, there was a huge delegation of Bucknell fans on their feet that entire run, Steve, and you know the mood was incredibly enthusiastic. We thought we had them, and then the bottom just dropped out.
Well, I think that was the, you know, Rodney Clark made some big plays, but I think the guy that was the key to the game for Butler was Andrew Smith. I thought he did a great job of Mike Muscala with help from others, but to get 14 points and 16 rebounds, I thought was pretty important.
And, you know, limited Mike Muscala to 9 points. Not sure how many rebounds he had, but
I think Mike had nine.
Yeah, the lid was on the basket for Mike, and in the first half, Steve, he scored the opening basket, I believe, and then went scoreless for 19 and a half minutes.
Which is amazing. The other part, too, is that I really felt hurt Bucknell. Bryson Johnson didn't hit a three until late in the game. He didn't score until late in the game, and he only played 24 minutes in the game, and Joe Willman wasn't just good. Joe Willman was great in this game, but they needed more from Bryson Johnson. They needed him to open up the inside for Mike Muscala, and he didn't.
And Joe Willman certainly played the game of his life, I believe, up and down the court, every aspect. Bryson, in the first half, got his second foul and took a seat on the bench. And I don't think at that point, Steve, Bucknell had even in the first half attempted a three-pointer. They might have one, but that was it. So it's a very uncharacteristic thing, but at halftime, holding a team like Butler to only 21 points, we thought, well, you know, if the offense gets going, the defense is playing great.
Yeah, well, the defense for Bucknell kept them in the game. They have no shot at this thing unless they play Bucknell defense, which they did. Butler also played its standard defensive game, which I mean, that's why it was 21-14 at halftime. But when they made the 19-2 run, they finally were able to get some shots. And that was it.
And Steve?
Yes, Bob.
The thing that happened at the end of the game, I don't know how long it was, but I don't know that Butler made a 2-point field goal from about the 8-minute mark on, but they dropped about every foul shot in the hoop. And they shot a phenomenal rate from the foul line right down the stretch.
Yeah, Smith was 7 for 8 from the free throw line today. Rodney Clark for the season's an 89% free throw. So, you know, when Butler comes down the stretch, he's the point guard. They want him handling it. And obviously, you know, for a particular reason, they know that when he gets to a certain point, he's going to make shots for him.
And he did. I'll tell you, let me just offer this, because I'm sure it wasn't shown on TV and maybe wasn't mentioned on the radio, but Dave Paulson, with about 25, 30 seconds to go, sent his underclassmen in and brought the three fabulous seniors up, Bryson Johnson, Joe Willman, and Mike Muscala, out of the game to a standing ovation, not just from the Bucknell fans, but the Butler fans and pretty much the entire arena.
Yeah, that's nice. Kevin Kugler actually on radio did mention that, and he talked about Bryson Johnson, Joe Willman, and Mike Muscala and how important they were and have been to Dave Paulson. He said, look, he said, I'm a first, second-year coach at the time. He said, I've got three guys that I really needed, and all three said they would take a chance on the program, and he feels indebted to them for doing that. And Kevin related that story on the radio today, which was, well, and I'm not surprised because I've gotten to know Kevin a little bit over the last year and a half, and he's a first-class announcer, and I could see, you know, and you can hear why.
And that just adds a whole different tenor to the game, you know, at the end. Obviously, the Bucknell bench pretty long in the face, but when those guys came out, everybody was on their feet.
Yeah, and well deserved because they've done so much, and to get back to the NCAA tournament, just it had to be frustrating for Mike Muscala. He was 1 for his first 9. He ended up 4 for 17 in the game. And it's just not, you know, let's face it, that is not the scenario I think anybody expected. I think, you know, they expected him to have an off game by having 16 or 17 points, I think.
Exactly.
I don't think they expected him an off game with 9.
And if he had an off game with 17 points, it might have been a different outcome.
Well, it's amazing, as when he hit the three-point play, Bob, that ignited the run.
Yeah, it really did. And you could just see the emotional lift that gave everybody else. You know, it seemed like their foot speed on defense was just a step faster. The passes seemed to get a little more crisp. And I know that's what turned it on. And, you know, we thought, here we go. Here we go, Bucknell. And, you know, I think the Marquette fans who are waiting, you know, to see their team come out got a little apprehensive about who they were going to have to play if they win over Davidson, which is starting in about 15 minutes.
Right. Rupp Arena, obviously I've been there and done a game there, and I've seen it when it's been full. I also saw Penn State win in there.
Yeah.
In terms of the 23,500 seats, how well attended was this second round afternoon session in Lexington?
I would say it was slightly more than half full, so maybe 13,000.
Okay. That's good.
It is, and I'll tell you what's the irony here. There are a few University of Kentucky fans because they love basketball here. Not many, because there are tons and tons of Louisville fans here. And, of course, those two teams and schools have such a rivalry. And I was talking to a Kentucky fan before the game, wanted to know where Bucknell was. And I said, well, if you know where Robert Morris is, Bucknell's 3 hours to the east. And he was very sad when I said that.
Well, you know what? It's interesting. The ratings of the Robert Morris Kentucky NIT game were higher than the NCAA tournament game.
I can believe that.
Yeah, and that's the ironic part of this is that the NIT, which so many poo-poo, you don't want to be in it, blah blah blah. Hey, no, that's not your goal when you start the season. Your goal is not to be in the NIT. Your goal is to be in the NCAAs.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how the NIT provides its fair share of drama. I mean, look, the NIT is to college basketball what the Gator Bowl is to college football. I mean, it's a secondary bowl game, but when you go, you make the best of it.
And the irony there, of course, Steve, is that John Calipari, the coach at Kentucky, grew up like down the street from Robert Morris, and he's played his college basketball up the road at Clarion. So
exactly,
not a good homecoming for Coach Cal. But
go ahead.
I'm sorry. The Kentucky fans are still in shock when you talk to the folks that are the ticket takers and the people working the concession stands and just all that. They are very quiet about things, especially when a Louisville fan walks by and says something. It's a great atmosphere, obviously, here in Rupp Arena, but for different reasons than Kentucky fans are used to.
Yeah, in fact, when Tubby Smith won the national championship, Dick Girardi went down to his office to do an interview on the state of the program and where he wanted to take it because it was Tubby's first year. And he was sitting in his office, and two boosters came in. They said, Coach, obviously we're thrilled about the national championship, but you know what? You lost two at Rupp this year, and I'll tell you right now, people do not like that. He just won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right, so there is a different expectation there. What about the Bucknell fans? How are they now? I know it's set in, there's disappointment, but is there also some feeling like, oh, what a great year?
Oh, absolutely. When as the team went off the court, Dave Paulson and the Butler coach really, you know, took some time and exchanged some very nice words. It was very clear from the body language. The players went through the line, and you could see a lot of mutual admiration. And Bucknell fans on their feet cheering and in a loud Bucknell group. And the Bucknell team was hearing it, and when they were done going through the line, took a moment, stopped, turned, and waved to the crowd, and that obviously set off an even bigger roar. So, yes, sad, but proud, I think, is the word from Rupp Arena, Steve.
Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate the call very much, my friend. Have a safe trip home. Can't wait to see you.
All right, Steve. Take good care. See you soon.
All right. Bob Buhner from Rupp Arena joining us after Bucknell's tough loss today to Butler. And the Bulldogs move on. They will get the winner of Davidson and Marquette as they won today 68-56. Derek Nix had a big day as he had 23 points and 15 rebounds. Michigan State easily beat Valpo. The final in that one was 65-54. Games that are in progress. Those are the only two finals so far. Games in progress. Davidson leads Marquette 6-2. St. Louis leads New Mexico State 37-23. Evans already has 22 points for St. Louis in the game. He's almost outscored New Mexico State himself. Wichita State leads Pitt 41-31. And Memphis leads St. Mary's 28-13. Jeff Byers from Des Moines joining us next to talk about NCAA wrestling. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And it is great to have you with us and great to have Sarah Bartlett on board this afternoon. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, today's show is being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to REWFinancial.com. I am at the Chateau. Yes, the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilsher's General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsher's General Store. You can go to Hilsher's General Store. To HilsherStore.com. It's www.HilsherStore.com. Hilsher's General Store is located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Tough one today as Butler beat Buck. The final in that one was 68-56. Derek Nix had 23 points, 15 boards. I figured he'd be the key guy against Valpo. They just can't handle it. And this was easy. The final score is completely deceptive. Michigan State beat Valpo 65-54. That was a 20-plus point game for about 75% of the time in that one today. It wasn't until the end they closed it down a little bit. All right, let's get you up to date on the other ones. Wichita State, Pitt. Wichita State leads Pitt with 10 minutes to go in the game, 47-35. Meanwhile, St. Louis expected to win big, and they lead New Mexico State 37-26 with just under 15 minutes to go in the game in that one. Evans has been great. 22 of the 37 points belong to him in the St. Louis game. Under the 13:45 to go first half, and Davidson is beating Marquette 12-2. At the half, Memphis, as expected, leads St. Mary's 32-22. Interesting at this time, fatigue enters into this thing a little bit. And St. Mary's is playing its second game in a span of 48 hours. All right, now let's get to the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Taking place in Des Moines. And joining us is the play-by-play voice. And as far as I'm concerned, in college wrestling, this is the best play-by-play guy in the country when it comes to collegiate wrestling. Jeff Byers, who joins us from Des Moines. Jeff, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Nice to be here and certainly getting revved up for what should be a really fun 3 days of wrestling here in Des Moines.
Okay. get back to you on that.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think they have conventions in Cancun? All right. What makes Penn State's a really good dual meet team, but what makes them an even better tournament team?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. The two things that stand out are that they are really strong, meaning that they have guys that you kind of pencil into the finals. And that's not to say that there's any such thing as a sure thing, but when you look at a Quentin Wright and an Ed Ruth and a David Taylor, those are guys that you certainly are expecting to get to the finals, and even if they have bad tournaments, to finish in the top three. And those are just a lot of points that are tough to make up for other teams. I think the other thing is that those guys are also capable of just scoring a ton of bonus points. I mean, we saw David Taylor last year, four pins and a technical fall. Ed Ruth has had a couple of falls here at the national tournament. And really up and down the lineup, they have guys that are capable of getting bonus points. I mean, Brian Pearsall, he's unseeded, but the guy has 22 career falls. You know, he gets a pin or two here at the tournament. Those are big points that add up in a hurry when you're trying to separate yourself from the rest of the field. So I think it's that combination where they are strong, they are really strong, and you feel confident that they're going to have three or four kids that are in the finals or top three when it's all said and done. And then really, I think all 10 kids they're bringing here, I would say at least seven or eight of them, you think at least could score bonus points, and really you're probably expecting to score bonus points in the early rounds.
What can Matt Brown do?
I'll tell you, Steve, I think the question is what can he do? Because this is a kid that is, he has all the tools, he has the work ethic, he just has everything you want, and it's just been a matter of kind of understanding that you don't need to go all out all the time. I mean, it's a cliche to go 110% and all of that, but that's what Matt Brown tries to do sometimes. And there are actually some times when you have a lead against a good opponent where you don't want to be going in shooting recklessly. I'm not saying don't shoot and don't shut it down, but you don't want to get yourself into even the possibility of a bad position when you have a lead late in a match. And you know, Matt Brown was just a kid that had such that offensive mindset that he was overly aggressive sometimes when he didn't need to be. And I think they've really worked with him on it, and he's worked very hard on it. And you saw at the Big Ten tournament, I mean, he just never really got himself in a dangerous position the entire tournament. And when the opportunities were there, he certainly capitalized. And I really think, Steve, it's a weight class where there are probably eight or nine kids that are legitimately capable of winning the national title here this weekend. I really think if Matt Brown just stays within himself and trusts what he has, he's the guy that's going to end up on top in that weight class. But it's going to be a fun weight class to watch because, again, there are a lot of really good kids there that are really close.
Is that the single most wide-open weight class with potential national champions, or is there another one that's close to it?
Yeah, I think 174 is the most wide open. I think there's, you know, a heavyweight could be intriguing just because you have Don Bradley from Missouri, Tony Nelson, the defending champ from Minnesota, and you have a couple of other guys that I think are capable of making deep runs. But I don't know that anybody outside of those two are really capable or likely to win the whole thing. You know, 125, I think you have four guys that that can come out of the mix there, but I don't think there's a weight class that has the type of depth in terms of guys that could legitimately compete for a national title as 174. I don't think there's another weight class that has more than four or five guys. At least that's the expectation as you go into the weekend.
Is it safe to say that if it plays out the way everyone thinks it'll play out, that the single most anticipated bout of the entire weekend is at 165 pounds?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. That is the one that's generating the most buzz. It generated the most buzz during the regular season. It generated the most buzz before the season even began with the All-Star meet, and there's no question. David Taylor and Kyle Dake are just a couple of special kids. Kyle Dake is trying to make history and becoming the first kid to win four different titles at four different weight classes. And obviously, regardless of what happens this weekend, his spot as one of the legends in the sport is already established. And David Taylor is certainly on his way to having a legendary career. Obviously, if he beats Dake in the finals, if they both get there on Saturday night and Taylor gets the win, I think that solidifies his place as one of the legends in the sport. And it's just it's neat because it's two kids that really want to test themselves. Neither one shied away from the opportunity to have this, and that doesn't always happen when you have champions and guys that are trying to protect legacies. Sometimes they'll try to slot themselves in where they at least think the path is going to be a little easier. These two literally sought each other out. They wanted this opportunity to face each other, friends, off the, and they're just two of the really great competitors in the sport, and I think it's certainly the most anticipated bout of the weekend. And truthfully, Steve, I think the second most anticipated is the potential final at 197 with Quentin Wright and Dustin Kilgore, because you'll have a couple of undefeated kids this season, a couple of guys that have won national titles in the past, and both guys that are really wide open, pin-oriented upper weights, and you just don't see that a whole lot in this sport, where you have two guys that are as dominant as they are have an opportunity to meet in the finals here. So those, I think, are the two most anticipated bouts of the weekend.
They haven't met yet.
No, and that's,
that's what makes it even more intriguing. That's the wild part about it. They have not met each other yet.
No, and I think both of them just have that quiet inner confidence that it doesn't matter what you put in front of them, they'll find a way to get it done. And yeah, because they haven't met, you don't know what's going to happen. And again, they'll both have some work to get there. You know, Matt Wilkes of Pitt obviously pinned Quentin Wright at the All-Star meet this season and is a very dangerous wrestler, and there are some other good kids there, but certainly the expectation going into the weekend is that you're going to have one heck of a final there at 197 as well.
Just back to 165 for 1 second. Everything is about matchups and about styles. What is it that David Taylor has to overcome style-wise and matchup-wise against Dake that can swing it his way? What has been the roadblock?
Yeah, I really, Steve, it's just getting his offense going and finding ways to get in on his shots. So really in both matches, again, the All-Star meet doesn't count on the record, of course, but it, you know, everybody that watched it certainly knows what happened. And, you know, David Taylor, we've just never seen anybody at the collegiate level. We've never seen anybody be able to shut him down. I mean, Bubba Jenkins caught him and pinned him, but it wasn't a situation where David Taylor wasn't able to get in on any of his attacks, and he really has not been able to get in much on Dake. Now, he did a little bit in their last meeting, the Southern Scuffle, but couldn't finish, and, I really think if David Taylor can get in and finish a takedown or two during the course of the bout, and normally two takedowns is nothing regardless of the competition for David Taylor, but Kyle Dake is just very tough to score on, and Taylor has unquestionably had a tough time generating his offense. And I think the other key, Steve, is going to be Taylor's ability to ride. He rode him for just under a minute in the last meeting, and if he had had over a minute, they would have gone into overtime again, and who knows what would have happened. But Dake was able to get out and then, of course, got the controversial reversal and was able to get that riding time under a minute. So I think those are the two keys for Taylor, is really being relentless with his ride on top and just figuring out a way, finding a way to generate his offense, which, you know, is something that he has done really in every other match he's wrestled collegiately.
How interesting a spot is Nico Megalou's in?
I tell you, Steve, I love the fact, and I know the Penn State coaches do too, that he got the 4 seed after finishing 3rd at the Big Ten tournament, because it keeps him away from the two Big Ten opponents, and they're just all so familiar with each other, and they all beat each other up. And I think, you know, not that having the number 1 seed, Alan Waters of Missouri, who's undefeated, is going to be any kind of an easy challenge, but I just think they like the matchup better. I think they like the style matchup better for Nico to get back to the finals there. Nico has just, he has this ability to take losses and truly learn from them. And I think the last Delgado at the Big Ten tournament obviously got his attention, and he's really focused in on just a couple of little things technically here in the last 10 days or so, getting ready for the national tournament here. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I really think there's just not much separating those top 4 guys, and it's going to be a matter of, again, just who takes advantage of the opportunity when it's there. And it's easy to say, and everybody goes out there with the same idea that that's what they're going to do, but you just don't know until it happens who's actually going to do that. But I really like the way Nico responded to the third-place finish at the Big Ten tournament in practice, and I really like the way he's just kind of zeroed in right now on what he wants to get out of this weekend.
There's a great Italian restaurant I want you to try in Des Moines while you're out there, and I think you'll really enjoy it. It's a place called the Olive Garden. Good luck.
No kidding. I'll keep my eyes open for that.
Good luck.
I've heard good things.
You heard good things? You get bread and salad, man.
I do the soup.
Jeff, thanks so much. We look forward to listening to every minute of it and every great call that you make. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you, Steve. It's definitely the fun time of the season, and certainly looking forward to it. So appreciate the time.
That is Jeff Byers from Des Moines, and already off to a start. Dylan Alton won and advanced today. Nico Megalutis won in advance today. So good news there. They're both off to good starts in advancing at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. So they've been able to, you know, get off to the starts that they need to. Meanwhile, Andrew Alton and Jeff Conway both lost. So it's not, you don't need that, especially from Andrew Alton, but it seems like he has a tendency get off to slow starts and then come back and get the team some points. So that's been the story at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. And we'll keep everybody up to date on that. So we will get you more up to date and continue to feed that to you from Des Moines. We'll come back in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Okay, so Penn State had a three-match losing streak today at the NCAAs. Andrew Alton, Conway, and Pearsall all lost, but then Dylan Alton bounced back and won. David Taylor won by fall. Ed Ruth in 28 seconds picked up a pin. Matt Brown won 10-1. So they got that. The last I saw, Jimmy Lawson was the only. Quentin Wright won 7-3. The last one I saw was Jimmy Lawson was still wrestling at heavyweight. So Penn State 6-3 on the day in the afternoon session at the NCAA championships, and Lawson was still wrestling. So we get a final on that. We will pass it along to you. Okay, we will pass that along to you the second we get any more on that. Okay. Our number 1-800-795-9565. And today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can always go online to rewfinancial.com. I'm at the Chateau, Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That's your outlet to us. 1-800-795-9565. Powered by our good friends at Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 to 15. You can always go to www.hilscherstore.com. So, that is the update that we have on the NCAA Wrestling Championships. I mean, that three-bout losing streak I'm sure it didn't light people up. And Nico Megalutis won today. Dylan Alton won. David Taylor by Ed Ruiz, 8 seconds fall. 10-1 for Matt Brown. He won. I think Quentin Wright won 7-3, 8-3. I think there was a riding time point to make it 8-3. Is the that's the story at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Of course, tough one for Bucknell today. But again, it was a 19-2 run. And when they did that, I think they got up by five. That was, I thought at that point they had them. I really did. They changed it around. They were finally getting some good shots on the floor. It was a tough day for Mike Muscali. Went 4-for-17. He was 1-for-9 in the first half. Then found a little bit more of a rhythm in the second half. His three-point play ignited the run that put them in front. But Bryson Johnson in foul trouble, played only 24 minutes. He didn't hit his first three until like 2 minutes to go in the game. You know, and they needed him to really open up the floor. Joe Willman was outstanding today. 20 points. 20 points. And was... he held them in the game along with the defense. But in the end, it's Bucknell advancing to get either Davidson or Marquette. And Davidson is up on Marquette early. But a great season for Bucknell. I mean, a great season for Bucknell. And great respect for Dave Paulson and the job his staff has done. He'll give all the credit to the players, but he and his staff have done a great job winning the Patriot, the pressure of the Patriot. Go down there, go toe-to-toe with Butler. You know, let's face it, you look at a kid like Smith, the big kid who had 14 points, 16 boards today, and with help did a good job on Mike. You got to remember, this is the same Smith that's been in the Final Four. I mean, that's the kind of team that they played today. Guys that have made deep runs and understand the one format. Not that Bucknell doesn't understand it, but I think the reason Butler responded when Bucknell went on the 19-2 run is because they have that experience and they've been down in NCAA tournament games before. Most other teams, I think, would have folded the tent.